Cameron Barrett, I'm looking at your new Clark Community Network, the beta of it anyway. In the blogging race in this campaign year, you've rolled out, in effect, a new Cadillac this weekend, and I want you to walk me around it, inside and out.
Okay. The Clark Community Network is a set of communities online based on state, city, and special interests.
And I can have my own blog on it if I'm so moved.
That's absolutely correct. Every user who logs into the system gets a blog by default. They can choose whether to use it or not.
I want you to explain to me what you expect or you'd like people to do with that opportunity.
We want people to voice their opinions. We want people to have discussions about democracy and about the candidacy of the president, of which Wesley Clark is one of the one of nine candidates.
But say I do that, who's going to care about my blog in the Wesley Clark context?
People who share this interest with you. Let's say if you belong to the Wisconsin for Clark group and you belong to the Homemakers for Clark group and you want to go online and talk about Clark and politics and democracy with people who share those interests,
mm-hmm.
who are part of the same group as you, that's what we allow for you to do.
A little bit like having my own house party, perhaps.
Yes, actually, one of the things we have planned is actually an event planning tool, which will allow people to organize their own physical parties, very much like the tool called Meetup, which
right.
we actually use.
Right. You can also make comments, and I notice you have a community rating system that you can rate other people's comments.
That's right. Everything is moderated, so if there's a comment that's not particularly liked, people can vote it down and actually just eventually falls off the page or falls off the site. You can sort comments, you can sort stories based on how well other people in the community have rated them.
Cameron Barrett, I want you to explain the thinking. In a certain way, you're making a model of Wesley Clark's vision of democracy. Spell it out.
Well, the Clark campaign is all about inclusion. We seek to include everybody who wants a voice, everybody who wants to have their opinions heard, to speak out, to take back the country, to take back...
I've heard that line before.
That's actually Howard Dean's campaign slogans. But one of the people in our existing online community actually says, okay, the Howard Dean can take the country back, but Clark's going to take it forward. I thought that was pretty clever.
Not bad. In what sense is this a model of Wesley Clark's vision of the way a democracy should work?
Democracy is about inclusion. Democracy is about having your vote count. Democracy is about free speech and allowing to work, you know, within like-minded groups. What we've built here is a place for people to congregate online, a place for people to come and discuss the interests that they have with other people online. No longer are people going to feel disaffected by politics. They're going to get involved with politics.
What kind of a user experience are you trying to give them compared to, you know, a town meeting or watching television or going to a ball game or playing in a ball game? I mean, what's the feeling of this thing?
The feeling is a community. It's an online community, and you have to be online before you can use it, obviously. But we're going to provide tools where people can organize offline groups at the same time.
Tell me about the software.
The software is based on a product called Scoop, which was written by a guy named Rusty, who runs a site called Corrosion, which is a play on his name, Rusty and Corrosion. I actually demoed the For Clark Network for him, the Clark Community Network for him, a few days ago, and one of his comments was, finally, a political campaign who gets it, you know, who wants to use my stuff.
What was the it? I mean, what are the little fins and blinkers on this Cadillac that you or he are most proud of?
The polls are very cool, because you can attach a poll to every story. We're building a lot of extra features into it. For instance, by default, you can only have one set of sections, and we've actually broken it down into three sets of sections. We're adding a lot of ties into our other products. All of our online web tools are going to interoperate with each other. That includes our volunteer database, that includes a product that's coming out soon called Clark Recruiters. It allows people to track who they've brought into the campaign.
Yep.
It's like a way for people to see how effective their campaigning is.
You've probably heard David Weinberger's line. He said, everybody's going to be famous for 15 people.
That's true. In some sense, it's like some of the networks like LinkedIn. It's like some of the networks, what's the other one, Rise Network. And the popular one is called Friendster.
Right.
So we're building something along the lines of that as well that will tie into this.
Compare this to the Dean site.
Dean started very early, and they get a lot of credit for recognizing the power of the Internet early on and using it to empower their people, empower their campaign supporters. We started relatively late. You know, in a traditional election cycle, we didn't start late, but when you compare it to the other candidates this time around, we did start late. But that doesn't mean we can't catch up, and that doesn't mean we can't come out with some really awesome tools for people to use.
You said in a note to me rather pointedly that this is not just for the online world, but for every American, not just for those who've got wealth and influence. You said Dean has the buzz, but we, you said, are going to do it properly. What did you mean by that?
That's correct. Dean is doing some very interesting things. Their Blog for America site is very popular. I'm not sure. I don't think it scales well. We're having scalability problems. We're writing our blog on the same technology as they are. We're actually moving away from that technology because it does not scale. The way we're doing it properly is all of our tools will interoperate. Everything that we provide will have a single sign-on login. So that if you log into the community network site, and then you go on to log into the Clark Recruiters site,
right,
and then you don't have to go log into the donations webpage because it's all based on a single sign-on.
Right.
So all of that technology will be tied together. The Dean Space idea. Dean came up with this idea, or one of their groups of volunteers came up with an idea called Dean Space, which is a hosted. Actually, it's a decentralized set of hosted websites, and you can download software and install it on a web server. But as soon as you do something like that, you create this really high barrier to entry, and you have to be technologically savvy, and you have to know how websites work.
Really?
To be able to use software like that, and it just makes it like very difficult for anybody who wants to be involved. To get involved.
Cameron Barrett, you're saying that the Clark site is more democratic, more populist, more every man's device than Dean's, but I don't get it yet.
Well, I don't want to pick on Dean because Dean's team does a very good job at what they're doing, but a lot of their tools don't appear to be tied together. They don't appear to offer the same level of unified experience across all of their grassroots sites.
Let me ask you, the other thing you're catching up with is the news in your own campaign that you guys had thrown out the bloggers after the draft movement became the campaign.
Well, that's actually pretty false. There are probably maybe 8 to 12 Draft Clark people here in the office tonight on a Friday night at 8 p.m. They're still here working.
But you know that one of your leading bloggers in the draft movement, and I've interviewed him, said that the Clark campaign had thrown out the blogging strategy in favor of a kind of Gore-Clinton top-down alternative. Are you back on track?
Well, I mean, somebody can claim that all they want, but the truth of the matter is it's not true, and one person saying it doesn't make it true.
Was it ever true?
I don't think so. I was not involved in the Draft Clark movement, so I'm not aware of the personal issues between certain people. But what it does boil down to is there are people out there making claims that were never proven.
Well, Sterling Newbery argued, for example, that if you really believed in blogging, Wesley Clark would not have bailed out of Iowa. He would have let a state viral network develop that could have been significant in the contention there,
again,
even if he didn't have the time or the resources to go.
Again, that's one person's opinion. That doesn't make it fact.
Would this tool give you any hope of going back into Iowa?
Sure,
and organizing that way?
Absolutely. I mean, if we there are several grassroots sites that are based on Iowa now. Actually, one of our top programmers is actually from Iowa. So using these tools to utilize a grassroots network in Iowa, absolutely. That's something we're definitely going to try to do.
Are you back in contention in Iowa?
We never were out of contention. We just publicly said we're not going to focus on it.
Are you going to focus on it now?
Not as much as we're going to focus on the other states. South Carolina and New Hampshire are very important states as well. The point is we have less than 90 days till the first primary. and we have limited resources and limited funding. So it's not, we can't go spend millions of dollars in Iowa when we probably should spend more time in states that are more important.
But blogs are supposed to be a tool in which you can overcome advantages of money and time.
Sure. Absolutely. There's no reason why we can't create a very large grassroots community in Iowa. But it does take resources in the headquarters that we don't currently have to manage that kind of grassroots movement.
Well, to paraphrase a famous unfair question, have you stopped beating your draft bloggers?
Have we stopped what?
Are you back on a blogging
campaign?
Who said
no? Chris, that is completely backwards. Who's claiming that? I'm not even going to comment on that. That's
okay.
A ridiculous statement.
Oh, I meant it half as a joke. Let's leave it there. I wish you'd open up on the implications of blogging and politics in general. I see a kind of transformation coming, and I see a very different democracy implied in these tools. I've talked a little bit with General Clark about it. How do you see it? Explain it in the terms he likes to use about the committees of correspondence that organized this country in the 18th century.
Okay. Blogging is a very personal, at the same time, very public display of opinion. It's no different from somebody in the 18th century who wanted to run several hundred copies of a newsletter and then distribute it. It's the same concept, except this time it's online, and we provide the tools for them to do so. One of our ideas we may or may not implement is some kind of a petition creation tool, which allows people to build their own opinions. Say if you have this very obscure interest that nobody in D.C. or nobody in the world is ever going to care about, except maybe five people. Well, you can create a petition and have five people sign it, and then at the same time you can raise funding for whatever special interest you want.
Right. Does it make sense to do it in Clark space?
Sure, why not? Providing the tools for people to provide influence on the campaign is also another key aspect.
You find that General Clark himself is interested in it?
Sure. I mean, I've seen him use AOL Instant Messenger, and I've seen him use email, and I've seen him, read the blog. So it's something he's aware of, and it's something that he recognizes as a very powerful tool.
What do you think, Cameron Barrett, is the mix of technology and community and message that makes a blog effective? I mean, what's the secret here?
It's providing access to anybody who wants it. When you go onto other political blogs and you want to have your say, you pretty much are stuck into the comments area. You're stuck with 500 or 600 other comments, and it all gets drowned out, and your message gets lost. What we've done here is we've provided a place for everybody to have a voice, and everybody to have a blog, and everybody to have to voice their opinion. And the community decides whether or not your posts are good. If what you're saying and what you're writing on your blog is good, the community will vote it. Will vote it good. One of the things we want to do is people can submit stories to community sections, and those stories are then reviewed by community moderators or community owners. If the stories are approved, then they go on the section homepage. At the same time, the community owners are responsible for reviewing the blogs of their particular community and pick out the best posts and promote those to the homepage.
So the cream rises.
That's correct.
Do you have an idea, Cameron, why the chemistry around Wesley Clark and his campaign seems to translate into blog language and why it doesn't seem to so far, say, for John Kerry?
Well, Clark attracts a lot of very intelligent people. We like to think of it as Clark attracts the NPR crowd. People who have met Clark, people who have seen him speak, realize that he's a very intelligent man. And they realize that he makes very informed decisions. He's not a politician, and people like that about him. They like the fact that he's not going to stand up and lie in front of lie to your face like a lot of politicians do. They like the fact that he educates himself about something before he makes a policy decision. There are numerous stories within the campaign headquarters where he's been editing his speeches, you know, 5 minutes before he's supposed to give them, which just creates havoc. But, you know, that's the kind of man he is.
Does something there rub off onto blog success?
It's the same kind of thing. You know, people who are very passionate about what they believe in, people who want to be have their voice heard, and people who want to make informed decisions, they're going to go on to the blog communities. They're going to go on to the Clark Community Network, and they're going to look for other people who share their interests, and they're going to look for information.
Hmm.
And so the Clark Community Network is basically a collection of knowledge. It's a collection of people who have lots and lots of knowledge, and it's a place where they can share that knowledge.
Cameron, have you looked at the Edwards blog?
Briefly. I haven't looked at it much.
I looked at it and I thought, you know, it's a lot like John Edwards. It's very attractive. It's very, very smooth. And it's rather empty. I mean, not a lot going on in there.
I'm going to look at it right now.
Check it out. It's as pretty as a picture.
Where is this blog? There it is, blog community. Wow, slow. Yeah, it's pretty, but one comment. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Five comments. Well, it's very pretty. It actually looks like something that I would probably do. But the fact, you know, the generally speaking blog, the Clark blog, you know, we're getting about 2,000 comments a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in comparison to Dean. I think in early October, the Dean people were saying that they were getting 2,200 comments a day. So as far as the number of traffic and the size of the community, I would say the Clark blog is not that far behind Dean's.
Speaking of comments, you made a very interesting post on your page yesterday, the day before, about open source.
Yes.
And in effect, it was a kind of declaration of war with Microsoft. You said you're into Mozilla and Thunderbird mail, Squirrel mail, and if you come into the building with Outlook mail, watch out.
It wasn't a declaration of war. It's just fact that Microsoft Outlook is a really terrible email client, very insecure. And early on in the campaign, every time somebody would come in from outside and they'd plug their laptop into the network would go down.
Wow.
You know, because of the blaster worm. And a lot of our people are not technically savvy. They know how to use computers, but they don't know how to know when their computer is infected. We had, you know, numerous instances of this. It's not their fault. It was just a stupid virus. And so we just put a policy in place that you just can't plug your laptop, your Windows laptop, into the network until it's been examined, especially if you're somebody new.
But so you very aggressively identified with open source software
background is open source, and we have several people here who come from the open source world. So it's very ingrained into the software development practices we're doing. It's very ingrained into everything we do regarding technology.
Is it part of the sort of the qualification for a Clark job to be open source?
Not necessarily. We're actually looking at some Microsoft technology too. So it's not just the platform. We're looking at the best technology for the job.
But
and
what
if
does
that
it
technology
mean?
Happens to be a big SQL database, that's fine. But at the same time, we look at the best technology for the job. We recognize that Mozilla Thunderbird is a better mail client for us than Outlook, simply because of the security reasons.
People are coming to call this season the season of open source politics. Joe Trippi says he got the idea of the Dean campaign working with Linux-based software manufacturers in this kind of coalition against Microsoft. I mean, it makes a nice image of Democrats rallying against Microsoft in the White House, too. Do you want to spell it out and spin it out, what the connections are, either metaphorical or historical?
Well, I'm not sure if there are any, because, you know, open source in itself is just a concept regarding software development. Trying to apply it to politics is really kind of skewed. I'm not sure if I agree with the whole concept of applying open source software development methodology to politics. It doesn't really fit. I can understand why they want to capitalize on the buzz of the term open source, but at the same time, and there's no difference, you know, open source to politics is no different than just saying open discussion politics. Same thing.
Okay. I should have asked you at the outset, who is Cameron Barrett? I know you've been blogging since 1492, Cameron, and you practically invented it, but give us your own story.
Yeah, I've been writing a blog since June of 97. Wow, has it been 7 years? Has it been 6.5 years? I was teaching new media classes at a small university in Michigan, and one of the things that I wanted to prevent was having to spend 2 hours every day photocopying articles just for my students to read.
Hmm.
So what I did is I had a web page, and I just found all the articles online, and I posted links to them, and I told my students, go to my website, read the articles, and come back to class informed. You know, there's your reading materials. And I just did this almost every day. My class was once a week, and my students would come in, and they'd be like, this is the coolest thing they've ever seen, you know, that somebody's giving them homework assignments over the web.
That's interesting.
And after the classes ended, it was a summer class, so after the classes ended, I just kept updating the site in the what is now considered the weblog format, which is reverse chronological postings from an individual.
Hmm. So it's a classroom discovery in your case.
Yeah, it was based on education. That's correct.
Who's the Clark Blog team with you? And are you running now against Matt Gross and Zephyr Teachout for celebrity in this world?
One of the things that I tried to avoid early on is the first few days of the blog, when we first launched it, I mandated that everybody had to blog under the moniker Blog Team. And I got instant feedback from the community saying, no, 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 we hate this. You have to give us your names. We want to know who you are. We want to feel like we know who you are. And I caved in and I said, all right, we're going to post under our names. And so the original three people were myself, a guy named Eric Carbone, who's a lot of experience working at AOL and running a lot of large sports fan-based websites, and a guy named John Klinko, who is a Draft Clark Movement guy.
All right.
Eric doesn't blog very much, but John does. And I've since expanded the team to include people that I picked out of the community themselves. I found a guy in D.C. named Don, who goes under the moniker D.C. Poli-Sci, and I said, you know, I love your posts. Would you like to do the best of the blog every day?
Hmm.
And so he'll go through all the comments, and he'll read everything, and he'll pick out the best ones, and that becomes a daily post.
A couple more questions, Cameron. Have you thought of how to use this instead of television as a way of running a general campaign?
Television's never going to go away. You know, television advertising is effective, but it's also expensive. We are doing things online that are similar, like we're doing online chats, we're doing interviews, we're doing a lot of the same kinds of traditional media events. However, we're transitioning them to be online. We're taking advantage of the internet in ways that you would never have thought of in 96 or 2000. But at the same time, there's a lot of things left to be discovered.
What are the tools that you can imagine in 2020 that you haven't got today?
I can see video blogging being pretty important. Of course, then there's yourself with audio blogging. As bandwidth gets more ubiquitous and as the tools become more ubiquitous, people will use them in ways you never expected.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody will come up with very unique ways of using tools that have never been thought of before. We're very in tune with our community, and we listen to their ideas, and we implement them when we're able to. At some point, somebody's going to come along with an idea, and we're going to say, wow, how come we didn't think of that?
Last general question for me, and I've seen a lot of campaigns, there's a striking takeover of young techs, kids who've been programming since they were teenagers, in place of, I suppose, the classic stereotypes of campaign organizers before were either sort of college intellectuals or union organizer types. How do you like this new world of geek campaigners?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of very technology-savvy people in the office, but at the same time, we have people who have run campaigns before. We have people who have worked in politics. We have people who are very good at press. We have people who are very good at counterintelligence. We have people who are very good at legal aspects. It's a very large mix of people with a very wide range of skills, and we utilize them the same way we would in any campaign. One of the things I forgot to tell you was the key concept behind the Clark Community Network is that every single person out there who wants to own a small piece of the campaign can now do so. If you have a For Clark blog, you own a piece of the campaign. It's a very small piece of the campaign, but you own it. It's yours. You can voice your opinion. You can talk about Clark. You can talk about the other candidates. And you can have a communication with other people who are working, who have similar interests as you.
That's a very interesting step in American democracy, and you make a good case. Let me just ask in general, I mean, are we out of a television era into an internet time?
I don't think so. I mean, personally, myself, I don't watch TV anymore. I watch TV when General Clark's on TV. That's it. So, but, you know, I'm much further along the path of moving more towards getting all of my information, all of my news from email and from websites. So I'm not the norm. I know that. And we can't ignore the rest of America who still watches television, you know, three to six hours a day. Mm. We can't ignore those people, and we have to cater to them and advertise to them, or not advertise, reach to them the way that they know how, which is by television. It's unfortunate that it's so expensive and it costs millions of dollars to, you know, to run television ads, but there's no substitute yet. You can offset some of that cost by using the internet to give out the same message and to strengthen the message. But there's no escaping television advertising, at least not yet.
Cameron, you've got an interesting site. You're an interesting guy. I look forward to talking again and again and again.
Sure.
Cameron, thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Good night.